I thought of the rest home where Rosie worked and the old men I had seen slumped in their wheelchairs and staring blankly into space. But wait, I said, several girls in the community have married young boys. The girl who started this conversation said that happened only because a young girl and a young boy both went to the prophet and insisted that they be married. So the only way you are not going to have sex with an old man is if you can get a young boy to fall in love with you. Then you have to insist that he is the only man you are willing to marry. That's the only chance you ever have of marrying someone who's in love with you. How do you get someone to fall in love with you? I asked. This prompted a revelation from one of the other girls in our group. Her sister had been allowed to marry the boy she was in love with because they had sneaked out of theology class together. They'd done it for an entire year without ever being caught. Suddenly, we could see a strategy begin to emerge. We decided to start going to Sunday night theology classes, which were held 3 times a month. This was something else we could share, regardless of which side we stood on because of the religious divide. We signed up for a class with a teacher on the opposite side of the divide from our parents because it was to our advantage to have a teacher who was not on speaking terms with our parents. We started going to the classes on Sunday nights to get our parents used to the idea. After a few weeks, one of us let some of the boys in on our scheme. They leaped at the idea of using the theology class as a chance to sneak out to the reservoir. The plan worked flawlessly. There was a general meeting before we broke up into our smaller classes. The big meeting never lasted very long. Someone gave a short speech and a prayer. By the time it was over, our parents had already left. We girls made a beeline for the bathroom. One girl stood watch at the door, ready to give a signal if someone was coming toward the bathroom who was not part of the scheme. When the coast was clear, we'd line up next to the window, climb up, and jump out. Once we were all outside, we ran to the reservoir, protected by the darkness of the early evening. The boys did exactly the same thing from their bathroom. Once we were all at the reservoir, we were home free. This was the first time ever in our lives that we could socialize with the opposite sex in an unsupervised way. It was so much fun to be able to relax and get to know each other without any pressure. For the most part, we hung out as a group and just talked. No one tried to have a romantic relationship. Someone always kept a close eye on the time. We knew when class was supposed to end, so we'd run back to the parking lot and stand next to the car of the person who'd brought us. They always assumed our class had gotten out ahead of theirs and were never suspicious. After the first few months of our unique theology, some of us had a boy that we were attracted to and wanted to see more than 3 times a month. There was someone I liked at the time, but he's still in the FLDS, so the less said the better. But a year into our ruse, one of the teachers from school was outside the building and saw us jumping out of the windows and making a mad dash for the reservoir when we were supposed to be in class. He went to my father. Another teacher spotted the boys following us. Everyone was scandalized by our behavior. Some were punished severely by their families. My father seemed both furious and broken-hearted. He learned the name of the boy I liked and went to see him to tell him he was forbidden to ever speak to me again. My father gave me the same edict too. I did not want to get the boy in any more trouble, so we did stop seeing each other. I was more concerned about what might happen to him than to me. My freedom was not all that was coming to an end. I feared my education was too. I graduated from 8th grade that spring. The only high school in the community was a private high school that was run by those on the other side of the religious divide from my father. Uncle Roy would not allow us to attend that school. I was devastated. I thrived on school, and all of my closest friends would be going on to high school because their families were on the opposing side of the divide. Since we had been together since grade school, our friendships had continued despite the controversy. But high school was a dividing line. I wasn't supposed to associate with them anymore. It felt like my happiness was sliding away. Without an education, I was doomed. The thought of losing my friends made me despair. The only alternative I had was to take a correspondence course. It felt good that there was some recourse for me, but I still hated the thought of being separated from my friends. What made me slightly more hopeful was learning that several girls who were older than me had gone on to community college after finishing the correspondence course. I dug into my courses with a vengeance. Meanwhile, my sister Linda's life had become desperate.